It's like every one of those appointments, Adolf, is a setup. It's like, yeah, it's a setup for you being there, but it's reflective. It is boomeranged. It's like God works like that. And wow, that's just that's fun.
Okay, perfect.
That's fun. I love more and more we're learning that that's our assignment, right?
Right.
That's what I love. You know, usually when he calls me and tells me these things, I usually laugh. Because it just seems like a setup, right?
Yep.
You know, a guy sitting alone in a food court.
He was the only one in
the food court. The only one in the food court. And he goes, sit down next to the, can I sit with you? I probably would have thought, right, come on, right? That'd be my first thought, look around the food court like, oh. But you didn't. You probably didn't hear that. They sat with the man alone. Shelley and Adolf did, and ended up praying for him. And the man, you know, 40-year-old man, just breaks down. Again, just feeling connection, feeling loved.
Right.
And
breakthrough. I mean, he got breakthrough because he was just carrying such a load that he shouldn't have been carrying.
I just.
And then Papa
me.
Opens the door for Shelley to just begin to just speak.
That's so sweet.
I mean, she was just telling him everything that had been happening in his life and how God is turning it around.
Yeah.
And he just sat there and just like, it was awesome, overwhelming for him. But it was great.
That's so fun. I love that. Here, say this with me. I'm getting it.
I'm getting it.
I'm getting it. I'm a work in progress. I'm getting it. We're waking up to who we are. We're waking up to this powerful role we play. And, you know, each of us have a story that kind of trapped us a little bit. So we maybe don't feel as free or as powerful, but we're getting it. We're waking up to this. And I was thinking, I'd like to build on a little bit last week. We talked about, right, there's Paul. Paul is helping us see it. There really only are two responses, right? Two responses to life. And Paul did it this way, right? He talked to us about we can walk in the flesh, right? So I'm captive to all their logic. I'm captive to the way they describe truth. Or I can walk in the Spirit, right? And walking in the Spirit, I'm agreeing with kingdom realities. I'm agreeing with the heavenly perspective. I'm waking up to who I am, right? And when I bring all that together, I like sink inside of me that this is my story, right? I'm gonna walk in kingdom. I'm gonna do it this way, right? That's the word we use to describe that function of responding to Holy Spirit in life that way, to live in kingdom, is faith. Really, that's what faith is. Faith isn't some little flip switch that just says all of a sudden, okay, I believe. No, faith is like this action of walking in your identity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're learning to get it. We're increasing in our faith. We're becoming more in agreement with who he says we are. And we enjoy the testimonies because it helps us, it brings us to that place, really. We're just continually reminding ourselves, that's where I belong. That's my natural response, not this other one. But quite often, we don't live up to that, right? Even as believers, we can get around a bunch of Christian men and women who are good people, and they love the Lord, but they're trapped in this. We know, we hear you say it, but I don't quite believe it, right? Mm-hmm. So we're trapped, and we have all sorts of crazy theologies that try to justify our trapped place, right? But we struggle with walking in faith. And you could use words about not, you could say I'm not living up to my fullness, because Paul, Scripture talks about that, what it looks like to be full, right, in him. So I wanted to talk about that, and I was thinking about it, again, more with Paul, because he's helping us wake up to that, right? Paul's helping us turn the lights on. Says, here's how, this is what it looks like to walk in faith. And so I was looking at Ephesians, and we'll get, so I'm going to go into Ephesians 1. But before let me give you a little bit of context before we get to that. Because again, just this thought of two responses. Walk in the flesh, respond by the flesh, or walk in the Spirit. Be led by Holy Spirit, right, in my identity. So this thing, what gets me to when Paul's writing this story in Ephesians, right? So remember we talked about Corinth? Remember the church in Corinth? Mm-hmm. And so Paul is sort of winding down his ministry in the city of Corinth. That's where we get the letter to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, right? And remember he stayed at Priscilla and Aquila's place? And so when he leaves Corinth, he takes Priscilla and Aquila with him, and he goes to Ephesus, another city, right? So he's on this journey bringing this story for the new church, right? That's learning to wake up and break out of religion. And they're saying, okay, and Paul's got it. He has apprehended this truth. So he's on his way to Ephesus, and he promises them, hey, I'm going to come back, right? And so they go to Ephesus, and then he goes on. He leaves Priscilla and Aquila behind in Ephesus, and he goes on and says, I'm going to come back to you, right? So they leave Corinth, go to Ephesus. Paul goes on, says, I'll head back. So they started this home church in Ephesus. Ephesus is a pretty, it's a busy place. It's a trading hub. It's one of their primary cities. I think it's like one of their top five. So it's a big business trading hub. You could say it sort of has this atmosphere of being a party town. Okay, mm-hmm. And in that party place, there's lots of other gods. There's lots of other religions and other experiences, and the mystics and the Bible talks to us about some of those things. You ever heard of Temple of Artemis? It's one of like the natural wonders of the world, right? It was Artemis of the Ephesians, mm-hmm. Right? So their goddess was Diana. That's all in that, that's where all that comes from, right? So they're totally filled with all this other mystical stuff that kind of is getting in the way, but it's full of superstition and magic and all that other stuff. So in any case, Paul has left Ephesus and he's coming back, right? So he runs into people from the church, right? So Paul has this interaction with people from the church in Ephesus. On his return back. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, right? Oh, where am I? Hold on, did I write down my verse? Yeah, there it is. Hold on just a second. Hold on. I just got lost. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Oh, sorry. There's scripture, by the way. It parallels. You'll find parts of the story in another book. Mm-hmm. And I forgot. So this scene, when he comes back to Ephesus, we catch a glimpse of it in Acts. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So I'll stay in Ephesus. It's in Ephesians 1. But in Acts 19, we get the picture of Paul's return to Ephesus. Mm-hmm. Right? And he says this to them in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Okay? Acts 19, verse 2. Paul comes back. He comes across the church. Who knows what they were doing? They're out in town. Mm-hmm. And he says this to them. There must have had some interaction. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard that whether there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul's I would love to know the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, because I find it peculiar, Paul's come and had this very powerful, you know, told them, here's who they are, here's your assignment, talks to them about walking in the Spirit, right? He goes away and he comes back, and I would envision what he has found is a bunch of powerless Christians,
right,
who are probably wondering, you know, I heard stories about the more, I heard stories about the miracles. It's not my experience. And they're talking about, I can see them talking about the church. I can see them talking about their time. And Paul's probably going,
how'd they miss it?
What happened? So he asked him this question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And I believe there was probably, and they said, I don't know, right? So there's something inside of them that's like, and maybe you've been there before, I know there's more. I'm not quite sure how to get to the more. I've heard of the stories, but you know, I hear Adolf talking about healings. I'm having a hard time seeing myself being Adolf down in LA, right? Or having that word for somebody, or praying for that person's wrist, or praying for that person's life, and seeing such dramatic response. It's like, I don't know. How do I get to there? And it says, you know, it says that Paul prayed for them, right? Right then he says, he prayed and he blessed them. And it says this in Acts 19. He said to them, he baptized them with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that's Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, he said they were baptized in the Lord Jesus, and Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So all of a sudden, through a dramatic moment of this Holy Spirit encounter, they step into this supernatural, right? They step into this new release. And I wonder, you know, it's like Paul says there's more. Paul told us about the more. We're wondering, what does the more look like? And it tells us in that encounter in Acts 19 that there were 12 men, 12 disciples that he encountered, that he prayed for. And I thought, wow. So Paul was a disruptor. Right, we talked about that. Remember, we talked about the city where he prayed for the demon to leave the girl, and he ends up getting mm-hmm. arrested because yeah. he was because he caused such crisis to their system, right? It's like he put this blow to their culture. So that's Paul's experience. That's the story about Paul. And now, suddenly, he goes and does 12 people. They get the Holy Spirit comes on them. So now I'm thinking amplified, right? Here, if Paul does this, what does 12 people do?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then those, because it tells us that in that same chapter in Acts, when he says he prayed for them, it says this in verse 11, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Right? 19:11, God worked unusual miracles. So I'm thinking, okay, Paul does this, now all of a sudden there's this breakthrough in 12 people. Now I can see all of them bringing unusual miracles, and then they're going to go pray for somebody and release Holy Spirit on them. Now all of a sudden you start to say, wow, now I can see how regions get transformed. Now I can see how a world gets upended. Now I can see how things can actually change and be impacted, right? So now we're getting to Ephesians 1. Fast forward 5 years. Okay, so Paul does this, comes back, and sees these believers in Ephesus, goes, what's going on? Because something's not lining up here. You seem kind of like you're missing some pieces. Prays for them. They get bammed with Holy Spirit, right? Tells us about unusual miracles being released by that. Paul goes off on his missionary journey. 5 years later, do you remember when we talked about him being put in prison and he's writing the letter to the Ephesians? So now Paul is writing to to that community he prayed for, right? He's in prison, and he's writing the letter to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians, right? And he says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, starting in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who dwells and fills everything in every way. He starts his letter to the Ephesians bragging about them. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith, right? What is faith?
Yeah.
Walking in this identity, walking in the Spirit, right? Doing our assignment, right? Ever since I heard about your faith and in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. So just a short time later, Paul's bragging about these people, this incredible faith they have and this incredible love that they're releasing. It's like, what made the difference? Just a few years, what made the difference? Because something real, by the way, is being measured here. There was Paul's hearing the stories. Paul's getting news. There's probably testimonies like Adolf sharing that are being collected. They're being shared, you know, neighborhood to neighborhood, city to city. And Paul's hearing all of these things. And it must have been extraordinary, right? It must have been like kind of like over the top phenomenal, because now it's like it's making the waves, right? And I thought, okay, there's something that's being evaluated here. There's something that people are measuring. It's a very real, tangible thing to life that's happening. And I thought, okay, first off, what is the thing that those Ephesians were authorized to do? Because there's a verse in John, it tells us this in John chapter 1. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name." The issue, that word right, the right is the word exousia, right? It literally means you've been, it's translated authority, it's translated power, right? Mm-hmm. Think of it like, I've given you the assignment to be the sheriff in town, and so I've given you a badge, so people recognize you have a voice, that you've been authorized to speak. Mm-hmm. I've also given you a gun to back up hard conflict, and there's bullets in your gun. It's not like Barney Fife, right? So you've got authority, you've got a badge, and you've got presence, you've got power to respond to a conflict. Okay, so that this word, the right to become his children, it's that's the packaging of that word. He says, I've given you a badge, and I've given you authority to respond in my name, right? So there's this fundamental task that we've been given with that badge and our gun. There's the authority we've been given. It comes from God. It comes, and he says, if you'll follow my leading, right, then the expected response will happen. If you walk in the Spirit, if you walk in faith, if you exercise this way, then that authority is released. Okay. John 14, he tells us this. He says, believe me when I say these things. Believe me. The word for believe there is actually have faith. What do we know what faith is? Faith is walking in that authority. Mm-hmm. He says, have faith when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, right? Believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing.
Right.
He just said, when you walk with that authority, these things will happen. When you walk in faith, in your identity, guaranteed, this is what's going to happen. He says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. It's like, wait. That's Jesus, right? So Jesus just said, here's how I go do those great things. Now I'll simplify it for you. It's like, and you, this is bringing heaven to earth. This is releasing kingdom here,
right,
in your journey, right? Jesus was able to bring heaven to earth for two reasons. One is heaven was the reality he lived in.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm. Walking in the Spirit is choosing to agree with that reality.
Right.
What in that, in heaven's reality, we know who Father is, and we know who his Son is, his daughter is. We know they're in union with one another. He says, and I'm in you, right? So there's a reality that Jesus walked in. He walked in heaven's reality. And the part two of how did Jesus do it? The Father, Scripture tells us, gave him that authority. He said he authorized him to release that on the earth. Right? Two things that are very specific for you. Right? Jesus shows us, walk in that reality, heaven's reality, and you've been authorized to release it everywhere you go, right? He tells us signs and wonders will follow all believers, not just Adolf. True.
So the heaven part is we have to go there.
Oh, thanks. Right? We're getting there.
Okay.
But he says, signs and wonders will follow all believers. And this is not just special people. This isn't just
right. That
preacher or that prophet
right. Yeah. Or
that healed, faith healer or, right? He says all, we'll follow all, right? So we really are learning to train ourselves to think differently, right? We're just like that young Ephesian church, the church in Ephesus. It's like, I don't, no, Holy Spirit, what are you talking about? I'm hearing about that. I heard about your miracles. How do I get there? Right? And he said, you've all been authorized to walk in miraculous assignments. And we're really just learning. It's like with Holy Spirit, with the release of Holy Spirit, and I'm training my mind to to believe this way, to think this way, that that's my assignment. He says this, and these signs will follow those who believe, have faith. These signs will follow those who walk in the Spirit. He says, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. First thing we saw when he prayed over the believers from Ephesus was they spoke with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we saw Jesus healing diseases. We saw him multiplying food. We saw him casting out demons. We saw him raising the dead. He's giving all of us a taste, really. He's just demonstrating, this is what you can expect as you walk in kingdom, right? This is what you can expect. So our challenge is learning to live in heaven's reality just like Jesus showed us how, right? And then release it, right? In the food courts or in the doctor's offices, right? So Paul is guiding us on this, let's call it a discovery of that faith, right? Realizing we've got so many things inhibiting that revelation. Whatever your story is, there's these things that get in the way from us believing that way, right? So after Paul's bragging on them, it's like, wow. He realizes we just need to keep taking the blinders off our minds. And so Paul goes on to this after he brags on them and says, I heard about the great things. Right? So he's clearly like excited that they're waking up. And see, and then he says this in verse 17 of Ephesians 1. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Mm-hmm. We read that in the Psalms this morning, in Psalms 18, that you would be flooded with light on this on this journey, that there would be this waking up, that this is what's true about you. So Paul says, I pray that you would have this spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here's why that's important, right? Because if you try to open up this book, the Bible, without the Holy Spirit, it's almost always guaranteed to trap you. It's like a weight on you. It's like put you in bondage because it looks like a set of rules that I could never live up to.
I call it the earthly gospel.
So what did they say again?
Earthly gospel.
Earthly gospel. Yeah. So it's like there's and by the way, Paul tells us that he said when he's talking to the Corinthians, he says the letter kills, but the Spirit, anybody know? Gives life. He's telling him, like, if you try to look at this is revelation without the Holy Spirit, it's an albatross. And we end up putting people in shackles because it all turns back to a performance game. And then you're wondering, one, there's no miracles in my life. I'm totally weighed down with all this religious practice. And I'm wondering I bet you that's a little bit of what he saw with these believers when he came back to Ephesus, and he saw them once again weighed down with the religious tradition without any freedom, right? So this word plus the Holy Spirit is what Scripture tells us is truth. So if you want to know how do we define truth, it's his word, these promises about who you are, your assignment, this explanation of faith, Holy Spirit breathes on that, revelation comes, we go, whoa, this is what heaven's reality looks like, and I release it, right? Because he tells me this in John, after he tells them about their assignment and who they are in him, he says this, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
That's right.
He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So I would just say this, you want your faith to increase? The only way your faith will increase is when you intentionally purpose yourselves to really get to know him better. There is wanting it to happen and just believing, okay, that's true, right? Mm. You can't do it void of a relationship with Holy Spirit.
Right.
Void of a relationship with Jesus,
right?
So there is your faith, if you're wondering, when do I get to see the miracles come when I pray? When do I see this release in my faith? When do I see walking in heaven's reality? When does it become real for me, right? It's not just words on a page, but it's like this release of my authority, this response to what heaven's doing inside of me. And I would tell you that that power, that his presence around you, in you, you might hit this. This understanding he promises, this kind of like this waking up to what's around you, it's when we understand his nature, right? When we step into agreement with his nature, with who he is inside of us, that's when we see him responding to our faith. And I think I'll, in the interest of time, I'll pause there and pick it up. But I just wanted to begin to set the stage for Paul's, you know, we've got this. He's told us there's two ways to walk. I can respond with him or without him, right? He goes off and reminds us, this is your assignment. This is who you are. Now we have to agree with that assignment, and we're going to be challenged in our thinking about who I am and what's available to me, and you can't do that without the Holy Spirit, right? So there's an intention. Part of your journey is
right.
About continually pursuing Holy Spirit, inviting Holy Spirit into your quiet time, inviting Holy Spirit into your reading of the Word, inviting Holy Spirit into your office, into pulling weeds in your garden, or changing diapers. I mean, Holy Spirit comes in, and when he comes in, right, he promises a waking up of your spirit. He promises that eyes will be opened. He promises you'll start to hear, right? And it's at those places that you see your faith come alive, right? So we'll pick up on Paul's story, but there's just a dramatic thing that happened in these Ephesians when they realized they were just following the rules and missed Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit comes all of a sudden. Scripture tells us unusual miracles happened and transformed a region. It transformed the church. So with that, Holy Spirit, we pray for more today. And so I ask for you say there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, this deep dipping, this washing, this bathing, this immersion in you. And when that happens, God, you release things in our lives, God. So I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit over our home church, God, that there is a deep washing in you. There's a deep stirring in you. That Holy Spirit is unleashed in our mind, unleashed in our heart, even to the release of new tongues, God, to the awakening of confidence and hope in the miracles, God. When Holy Spirit comes, we hear your voice, we see visions, we hear in the prophetic, God. So the prophetic of heaven is released through us. So God, we pursue Holy Spirit this morning, and we pray, just inundate us, God. Come upon us, Holy Spirit, and change us. Wake us up. Revive us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.